Fornes versus Commonwealth of Virginia. Alan J. Stillman, Appellant's Counsel. No appearance by appellate.
May it please the court. Mr. Chief Justice and all the justices, my name is Alan Stillman. I rise on behalf of Nolan Marcus Fornes II, and this is obviously an expungement case.
Mr. Stillman, can this case be fairly summarized as follows? How can you have a lesser included offense of affixion? There is no lesser included offense because the underlying charge never existed. It's a fiction. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
What else do we need to know?
Is it time for me to leave?
I think this is what you would refer to as a friendly question for sure.
I certainly do. And I think that's exactly right.
If we were on direct appeal, that would be one thing. But don't we have to assume that what he was convicted of, he was in fact convicted of?
Which conviction are we referring to? That's the problem.
I guess it is what probably should have been reduced to a DUI first, but what was ultimately, he was convicted of a DUI second in Arlington, correct?
That's correct.
All right. For the purposes of what we do here today in the expungement, we have to assume that conviction is valid, even though it may be on appeal simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm probably going to see you in a few weeks, but yes.
All right.
May I follow up that question?
Sure.
Why is it necessary for us to get tangled up in the Brandenburg lesser included offense doctrine? I know ARA referred to it, but the earlier cases were simply saying, no, innocence is a completely different charge. Here, the charge is DUI. It was mangled up in the indictment, and it was changed, obviously, quite a bit in terms of the conviction. But I don't know why double jeopardy principles of lesser included offense and issues like that really have anything to do with this. I said as much in the dissent in ARA, so I'm asking you, is it too little, too late now for me to keep talking about it?
No, I think you're actually right on the point. As Justice Mann said, this is a fiction, and the problem is not whether it's lesser included. I think the ARA case and the Dresner case and the Casey case and all the Brown-Compton case, all those cases are plea deal cases. There was a plea deal that was made between the prosecution and the defense, and then the question this court bats back and forth is whether the plea deal falls on one side where you grant expungement or falls on the other side where you don't. This is entirely different.
Is 18-2270, does it define separate offenses, or is it merely a sentencing enhancement, create a situation that enhances a sentence like 18-295 and 96 do with larceny, where it's the same offense and it's just the extra fact that determines whether it's a bigger or a lesser sentence?
In part, it does that. In part, it does the other thing. And I'll give you the different parts. If you look at 18-270C1, that's DUI third. And it says that if you have a third within 5 or 10, you get extra punishment. C2, however, and that's the problem we have here, talks about what happens if you have a previous DUI conviction, even if it's more than 10 years old, which their original claim was that this was 15 years old, do you still get, is that a different kind of offense? So I think that part of it is more substantive than just punishment. It has to do with dealing with a previous felony conviction. And so I think that might expand it a little bit more.
So if you go back, I'm sorry, Justice Kelsey, please.
So help me out with this.
Sure.
We have a defective DUI indictment. It's clearly
Was on a warrant.
Sorry, defective warrant, DUI yeah. warrant.
Right.
There's a conviction for DUI, and the variance has been corrected. How is that, why should that say he was innocent and his defective indictment warrant was dismissed?
Okay, because
it's not technically a lesser included offense, but so what? We're not sitting around arguing double jeopardy. We're talking about the expungement statute.
We're arguing expungement, and the idea of expungement is you shouldn't have unwarranted damages. And as the court have indicated, it shouldn't be a false charge. Now, here's what we have.
Isn't the answer to that question you can't be innocent of a charge that never existed in the first place?
That certainly would be a better answer than what I'm giving.
But if I could just ask you this question, what happened here, I suspect, is the defendant appears before a magistrate, somebody misreads a VSIN or an NCIC, and, you know, because we all know those can be confusing, they think that he has a prior felony DWI conviction, when in fact he does not. So as Justice Kelsey points out, why are we going through the lesser included offense analysis and just simply proceed to manifest injustice? Because is it simply enough to say it was ridiculous he had to deal with the underlying charge in the first place?
I think that would be my preference, but directing to what...
The proceeding that was commenced by this warrant, which we all agree contains a charge that shouldn't have, resulted in a conviction, did it not?
Well, actually, the warrant was amended.
Well, right, but the court proceeding that was initiated by that warrant,
yes,
was not dismissed. It wasn't resolved in his favor. It ends up in a conviction, admittedly a conviction for DUI second, which may come with its own problems, but a DUI conviction of some type.
Yeah, here's my problem with that. If you look at the Nikhazy case, which actually tends to go against us, and if you look at page 669, 281 VA at 669, it says, the legislative intent underlying the expungement statutes is made clear by the quoted language. It was not to distort the record of events that actually occurred, but was to avoid injustice to an innocent citizen falsely accused and unjustly convicted. He was falsely accused of a felony. He has on his record now, you can look at page 65 of the appendix. On his record now, you could look it up, it says he was convicted of a felony. That's what it says.
It doesn't say he was convicted of a felony, does it? It says he was charged with a felony.
There's two felonies. That's the problem with this case. The felony charge is on page 65. But within the felony charge is a statement that he was previously convicted of a felony. The thing that seems to upset us, at least most lawyers and judges, is, as Justice Mann said, it's a fiction. He was never convicted. He was never tried. He was never even charged for the felony that they say of which he was convicted.
Right, so your problem isn't that he has this DUI on his record. You accept that. Your problem is this language that potential employers might see that references a felony that never happened. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, I think one of the arguments I make in terms of manifest injustice is a felony conviction is a scarlet letter.
Mr. Selman, just to make a silly example, just to see if the analogy is correct, instead of the DWI matter that we have before us, what if he goes before a magistrate and the magistrate sees that he was actually convicted previously of capital murder, which actually turns out to be the biggest typo in the history of typos, and ultimately he's convicted of misdemeanor assault?
Yes.
Would he be able to get an expungement under those odd circumstances the same way you say he should get an expungement here? Because assault could conceivably be a lesser included offense of capital murder.
Okay.
No. And the capital murder case, again, complete mistake. Never happened.
I would think he should get the capital murder expunged. But I think our case is I was going to try to avoid that argument, for the simple reason is that the charge of assault doesn't contain within it the charge of capital murder. Whereas in this case, we don't have just a fact that he got convicted of a DUI. We have a charge that contains within it a statement that he had been convicted, which everybody would assume that he was properly charged, that he had the right to counsel, that he had the right to call for witnesses in his favor, he had the right to confront and cross-examine the other side. Everybody would assume that. In fact, probably talking out of school,
so
but when he came to me
logic.
And says, I've never been convicted of a felony, and I saw the charge, I said, you got to be kidding.
So on your logic, would that mean that every single charging instrument that alleges a crime and the guy is ultimately not accused or convicted of that crime, he's entitled to expunge the charge because the charge was never true?
See, like I said, that's the argument I was trying to scoot around. Because you're talking about a specific charge in a specific case that later gets changed to something else.
But isn't there a difference if the Commonwealth concedes, you know what, we just goofed, there never was
this.
That's
the point. That's the
point. As opposed to, we really think you did this, there's plea negotiations, you
right.
deal it down, and that's different.
Right. That's the point I'm making. Plus the point that this charge contains another felony. It's not just that you're accused of a felony DUI. You're accused of a felony DUI because you've previously been convicted of a felony DUI, which the prosecutor says, no way. And had we gone to preliminary hearing, if you look at page 67 of the appendix, you can see Josh Katcher's letter where he says exactly what he did. He said, look, we can't find it. There is no previous felony. We're going to go to court and general district court. Instead of having a felony preliminary hearing, we're going to ask the court to amend, and we're going to put it on a misdemeanor trial dock. But meanwhile, he's still carrying around something in his record. I guess when they told you in fourth grade there is a permanent record, he's got the permanent record that says he's been convicted of a felony, which he is not. Now, I think given all the due process violations that are encompassed in that, that in and of itself is manifest injustice. In fact, in most criminal cases, you have to deal with various aspects of due process and how do they comply, and if they're not right, you reverse, or you find if they are right, that you affirm. But the fact of the matter is, we all understand denial of due process in and of itself can be manifest injustice. But let's look at manifest injustice in this case. If you look on page, first of all, we proffered evidence from various people, jeweler, wholesalers, and retailers, and he's been in the business his entire life. And they said, well, you know, with a felony conviction, you're not getting hired. Well, obviously. You're in the jewelry business, you got precious metals, you got precious stones. Something goes wrong.
Has this stopped him from working in the jewelry industry, as a matter of fact?
As a matter of fact,
You just said he's been in the business his whole life. That
right,
sounds
right,
like
but
he hasn't been stopped.
The problem is his parents owned the business. They closed it just shortly before he was arrested. He was looking for others. They're still doing some online stuff, but not what they used to be. But then I would direct your attention specifically to appendix page 24 to 25, where I have this conversation with Judge Fiore. Also, one of his hobbies is hunting. He has a Virginia hunting license. He lives in Radiant, Virginia, which is in Madison County. I understand it's a prerequisite to hunt if you live down there. In any event, he has a Kansas hunting license as well. And obviously, if you show a felony on your record, and some police officer comes over and says, looks up your record and sees a felony, even if it's just part of a charge of another felony, you know he's liable to face possession of a weapon by a felon. That's a 3-year mandatory misdemeanor. He probably isn't going to get bond right away. And the court says, right. And that is right. He's probably not going to get bond right away. Because what magistrate is going to say, oh, you got a 3-year mandatory minimum, I'm letting you out. The magistrate is going to say, the judge will deal with it tomorrow or Monday. And that's what would happen. And by the way, he's certainly going to get hauled in for an investigation, because what game warden wants to walk back and say, oh, I found a guy that had on his record of a conviction of a felony, and he was out there hunting, and you think his supervisor is going to say, what are you doing? Why aren't you bringing him in? The standard is cause or may cause. Obviously, everybody thinks, can see how it would cause. And we think, and since it's a fiction, he should be allowed to get it expunged. Oh my God, I beat the time.
Yeah, you did.
Mr. Chief Justice, I didn't want to cut into counsel's time. May I just express something? Is there anybody here from the Attorney General's office? Okay, well, maybe someone's listening online. We asked the Attorney General's office to provide an amicus brief, and I just want to thank them. I know they're busy. Thank them for doing that. Arlington County didn't appear on the other side of the V, and it's helpful to us to get a full picture of the arguments. And so I just wanted to thank them, if anybody's listening, for preparing that amicus brief.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Have a great one.
Call the next case.